Yippee!
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 Listen, what's the title of this thing? No title again?
Anda de lonely be a little money.
Is it rolling, Bob?
Check. Sitting in my road track folding chair, feet braced against the fireplace. It is, I don't know, 1 in the afternoon, 12:30 maybe, of September 11th, 9/11. And I'm at Rathdrever Provincial Park here on Vancouver Island. And I'm a very happy camper, literally. We found just a delightful spot, a delightful campground, and of course we knew from experience. I didn't remember, but you ask Brent or your friends who live here any park recommendations, and you know, you get one from a friend you can trust. And Rathdrever was the place to come. It's only half an hour from Nanaimo, so we got off the ferry and just bombed right up here. Thanks to my cell phone giving wonderful, easy directions. This is it's a little strange right now. I'm surrounded by these trees, which are Douglas firs, and they are quite spectacular. I just can't get over the amount of pleasure I've had yesterday and today sitting here looking into trees. The other campsites are sort of hidden by the trees. This is so, you know, the ones that are open, so many Ontario parks. This is a beautiful park. There are issues. They've blocked off part because it's near the end of the season, so some people, I think, were maybe turned away. We think that's, hey, who's ever running for election here on who handles issues like this, or provincial parks in general, so, pay the extra wages, let them keep the washrooms open, let them keep the other places for people who want to park late, camp late in the season. You know, what kind of a cutback is that when you think about other, the monies that are wasted and so many other things? This serves people. Anyway, I know what to say. I don't know, even know if you damn well care. Bruce is at the water's edge. Down at the beach. I've decided to just to stay here for a while, talk to some people walking by who I've encountered a few times, and this is what's frustrating. You see, I'm having a wonderful time, and I'm questioning, why am I telling you this? What am I trying to prove? And that's really what I want to get at, the inauthenticity of me picking up a microphone to tell you what a wonderful time I'm having. That's like a Facebook post, you know? And come on. But you see, oh, how pretentious that sounds. But I had real issues. I had real things that I felt that I wanted to share that were important. And so why is it that I need to share? If it's important, it's important to me. Act on it. Do you have to tell people what you discovered? What you think you learned? What you think, you know, is really important? And why is this all about you? And that's me, because it's my fucking podcast. There, I get defensive. The other voices pipe up, you know. Hey, buddy, stay on track here. I have had half a small brownie. And it has done the trick. And yesterday I was just plain feeling fine, you know. Little beer, little wine. And sat around the big fire with Bruce. Gave him a hug today, and I think he felt a little awkward. People were maybe walking by, and it looked strange for me to get up. And I hugged him because I said, I just got to say this. I got to clear the air. I'm so glad we're friends, and our friendship is really important to us. And sometimes it's, you know, when it feels strained, stressed. You've heard me talk about Barnacle Bill. You've heard me talk about that. And I sort of apologized to say, you know, it's my fault. And I just wanted to know what a dear and important friend he was to me. I've been doing that with everybody on the show. I really do feel, okay, here's the thing I want to say. It is authentic, damn it. I do sometimes feel like, hey, if I died at the end of this trip, yeah, I've had a nice goodbye. People will remember nice goodbyes with me. You know, I guess I want people, here's two things I want. I want respect and I want people to be sad when I die. And on one hand, it seems so silly to say that. On the other, hey, I'm sorry, but that's how I feel. And then I thought yesterday, that was one of the discoveries. A lot of people want respect. It shouldn't be so hard to get, but it is. And, of course, the questions that follow, respect for what? What do you mean by respect? And so on. And I'm just going to leave that there. I guess people don't want people to laugh at them or think they're a fool or anything. You know, we have pride. And anyway, the other thing today, and I guess I don't know if I really want to share it with you because it's a real downer. But it was just a few moments of thinking of all the people who are suffering right now, who really are. Children who have been kidnapped, people who have been taken by a serial killer, a sadist. Somebody's being abused in a home they can't escape from. The amount of pain and suffering. And today, you know, not even to mention the wars and the bombs and the suffering on this planet and why. And it's there are natural disasters and then there's humans inflicting pain and suffering on others. And it just seems so wrong and so sad. And again, you know, when it comes to local actions, we should be thinking about ways we can eliminate the suffering that our fellow humans are inflicting and enduring and experiencing. And I hope that doesn't sound trite. No, my God. Oh, so Ken's gone to church? Is this what we get? Ooh, I like that one. That was a bit cynical. No, I felt it, and I felt just such deep sadness for the so many people. And I guess I think it's because I'm reading this book, Scarborough, and I realized this is the book I want our church to read. As our church is going through all kinds of changes now, whether we'll even have a church. And here's something written by Catherine Hernandez, finalist, 2017 Book Awards, Toronto, a novel about the people in Scarborough that are poor and some who are suffering. And it's just a look at it paints a different picture. It's very well done. And then today I looked up and saw, well, who wrote this? Who is this Catherine Hernandez? And I read this. Hang on. I read this as a picture of a woman who looks masculine. You can just see a bit of a tattoo. Catherine Hernandez is a queer theater practitioner and writer. Her plays, Sing Kill and Kilt Pins, were published by Playwrights Canada Press. Her children's book, M is for Mustache, a Pride ABC book, was published by Flamingo Rampant. She's the artistic director of Soulong Theater for Women of Color. She lives in Scarborough, Ontario. And I thought, why don't I get the church to read? Or the church, our book study group, I'm sorry. Our book study group. In fact, why don't I announce it at church? Why don't I make an announcement? I found this book. I think you should read whether you go to Scarborough or not, whether you go to the book club or not. And then at some point, after enough people have read it, invite this person to come and speak to our church about the community we live in. Because here we are in Scarborough, but it's all white people, you know, retired with pensions, traveling, having good lives, and yet we're calling ourselves Christians and part of the United Church. And, hey, we sponsored a refugee. We've, had people, what do you call that, when you can live in asylum in our church. I think that's what I want to do when I get back, is when you make your little announcements. That's a solution to a problem I just had. Like, how I'm going to introduce this to the book study club when, I'm supposed to be on that committee and I'm sort of talking about, I don't know when I'll be back. But something is gelling. And so I'm sorry, this seems completely off track. I'm thinking into my private life and what I want to happen. But it's taking shape as I sit here and read this book and finish it. And realize I think more people should read this kind of raw description about the poor people living here, and it mentions all the places we all know here in Scarborough. So I'm excited about that, and I'm glad I found this at a used bookshop, and I want to put that out there too. I was just wandering and browsed and saw this. Hey, how could I not buy a book called Scarborough? How come I never heard of it? And yeah, so I think that's I don't know what I'm saying, folks. I'm sorry. I've just been very happy, very grateful on this whole trip. And this little trip to Vancouver Island with Barnacle Bill and Adam showing up this afternoon, managed to get 4 days off to join us, is wonderful. And Bruce has met him before. And it's all great. It all seems so special. But Judith posted something. Judith posted something, and I hope I saved it. But never mind living each day, you know, for the hours, whatever it is about that. But something else, just a small twist on that, which I should be able to remember, but I can't. I thought I might have saved it in my photos, but I guess not. Live each day as if it's an entirely new life, I think. Something along those lines. Like you're hey, no, it's not just this is the next day. This is my life. This day is my life. And tomorrow there'll be another life, if there is tomorrow. It just broadens the picture, right? It just makes it a little wider than often what we currently have. I hope I'm making sense. I feel I am, and I feel I have almost a painful relationship with you listeners. I don't think you quite know that. There's some anger beneath the surface, and it's so silly, but it's anger that's misdirected, of course, but it must be just frustration with myself with not being able to express what I want, or frustration with this sense of why am I doing, am I, the sense of fakeness about this, you know? And I don't want to be a fake. I want to be real. I don't want this to be sort of something that, I don't know, my inner conscience is forcing forward. I want this to be real. Anyway, I'm stoned, so what the hell. I'm happy to be here, but I'm happy to have this group of social media friends. And there's the overlap from Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. There's people I want to reach, and I want to show nice things. I want to be known. I want to be seen. I want people to react. You want those little dopamine checks, likes, you know, and that seems silly too. I don't think I'd ever have the strength. I can imagine people. No, I don't need that. No. And just me, and I feel I'm needy, and I guess that's what gets back to this respect thing. I don't like being needy, but I think I am a needy person. But I the other thing is this trip does feel about growth. It does feel about learning, and this is good. And you want to learn before it's too late. You want to continue to learn while you can. And maybe that ties into this new days. I was admiring Bruce for putting up his tent yesterday and just did it the old-fashioned way. And it's perfectly pitched, tight, nails, a rock. Like, he did it so well that here he is. He says, it's funny at 72 to be crawling into a tent. And he crawled in, you know. Some people would call it drunk last night. After that, what he learned, he regretted and talked about the third scotch. But that picture is all wrong. The picture is he's in complete control, did a very nice job, insisted on the last log, and it was interesting. There was one piece, and I was saying, no, let's just let the fire die. And I was saying, no, I'm going to put that one on. And I poked it further out of the way. I didn't want that to go. I wanted the fire just to die when it was. And Bruce wanted to continue. And what was so nice is he chucked it on. I said, okay, that's my sign. I'm going to go to bed now. And, you know, that's my turning point, and it's you're enjoying the rest of it on your own. And that was just the perfect solution. I didn't do in that. I didn't need for that thing not to go on. I just sort of knew I've had enough now. So it was a time thing. But we've been in sync. We've been connecting. We've been just doing fine. Doing fine. And everything is good. And God damn, it's so frustrating sometimes. And you just can't get it all out. But you're not the only one. Okay, here's something else I realized about Barnacle Bill. This person I've just been so frustrated with sometimes. He's carrying a lot of pain. I know he is. And he'd hate me for saying that. I hope he never hears that. And I hope that's not wrong and we reveal that. But that's why it was awkward for him, for me to hug. Why he just patted my back and somebody might be watching and so on. Because he doesn't want to let go. There'd be a whole flood of tears. And, you know, I think the same is probably partly true for me. I mean, I only let some out at that bad night that I shared with Adam at Bob's the farewell do we had in Kingston when I fell apart. And it was a lot of pain, a lot of crying then. And you hold it back, and it's a silly thing. And so those men of you out there who can still cry, do it. Make the most of it. It's a healthy thing. It's a thing we should do, and it's absolutely ridiculous that we're sort of conditioned to not want to let ourselves cry. And it's almost, it's that fear, you know, of, oh my God, but will I ever stop? And for what, really? You know, I have nothing to cry about. Uh-oh. Really. The crying should eventually turn into tears and cries of joy and gratitude for being alive. I know that's full circle back to, yeah, but if it's okay for you to say, pal, look where you are. There are others who just want their life to end. And there's so much sadness. And again, I don't want to keep coming back, because then that's when it starts to sound fake, you know? And I don't... I don't want it to be. I don't want it to be cheapened. I'm just sort of hoping I'll see Barnacle Bill come by and it'll be an excuse for me to stop talking. But it was a do or not do here on Vancouver Island. And part of me would say, no, I'm not going to be recording at all. But now that Bruce has gone down to the water and I've got this time alone, there's no reason not to. And I hope that you appreciate what I'm doing for you, with you. For me, with me. That should be a good time to sign out. I'll tell you what I'm doing is I've just, the last image that I had was just the backhand of a kind of a nice brown camper. I think it might have been a pleasure way, just turning the last corner through the woods where you can't see it anymore, because it's a winding road. So this is a bit of a fairway, but. The trees here and the way the light plays and the sun catches them, it is just so, so incredibly beautiful. And that's a big part of what I'm doing. I'm not sitting here crying thinking of sad people. I'm thinking, wow, it's nice to be here. It's nice to be staring up at these trees. I got two dead center looking in front of me of these Douglas firs with that amazing bark. And it's just glorious. It's a different kind of tree, and it's a tree, and I love trees. All right. Signing out, waving to people as they walk their two dogs. Scarborough Dude, signing off from Rathtrevor Beach Provincial Park on 9/11. It's good to be alive.
like, you know, holy moments, you have that can't be shared, and that they diminish when you try to share them. But that's some things that are only for you, and not for anybody else. You know, looking in like a voyeur. You know, like the listeners are like voyeurs, right?
They're looking. We ask them to be.
Oh,
we put on the show.
Yeah, we're exhibitionists in that way. We're personal exhibitionists, where it's about our experiences that we're exposing instead of our genitalia. You know, it's like a sex act. Yeah, it's like porn, except, you know, for
feelings.
Well,
I think more of it's like masturbation to me. It's
masturbation.
Yeah. When you want to feel good, you want to release,
you want other people to know you've released.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a Louis C.K. situation.
Yeah. Wow. Boy.
But
I haven't quite focused it to that degree, but if that's true.
It feels like that
goodness.
Sometimes.
It seems
sometimes
like a dirty
act. It
feels
like
now.
A perverted thing to do.
Yeah, it is.
You know,
I'm disgusted holding my mic in my hand now. It's that painful.
But it's this weird acknowledgement that you're not just doing it for the situation. We're not doing this for the now. We're doing it for the now and then. And for other people to have our now moment later. You know what I mean?
It is all those things, and we're doing because we want to extend the now. We want to hold on. That's what I was saying before.
We
wanted to hold on, and there's nothing you can hold on to in life. So you try and capture just a little piece of it.
Yeah. So when you listen
and this
back,
very
you
piece,
get transported
you know,
to this.
Yeah.
It's as if there's a person next to us.
Yeah.
Right? You know, there's like a phantom friend.
Do you want to tell the people where we are right now?
We are at the western edge of Canada, Vancouver Island, the Pacific Rim National Park, and it's between Tofino and Ucluelet. And this particular part is Long Beach, where we're looking out over a bluff onto the Pacific Ocean that's crashing against a sandy shore, rocky sandy shore. And we're looking off at the horizon, a gray, murky horizon, and pondering our lives.
And a foreground of these beautiful trees that we've been enjoying so much on this trip.
Just foliage.
Perfect framing, variety amongst them. Each one, you can almost see the spirit in this one, you know, look at the way it's holding its arms across.
Yeah.
Anyway, we may diverge a little here. Adam was he was going to be leaving to continue his walk, and I raised the question just before he left as the morality of recording a podcast right now, I guess we concluded it was a dirty act, but we'll probably do it anyway.
Yeah.
So, I think some of our listeners will understand that.
I hope so. It's not, you know, I'm not saying this is pornography.
No,
I'm saying it just has a voyeuristic.
It'd be demanding your money back if it was.
Because it's I always consider this being in the future rather than the now when we start recording. Because we're transporting it, recording it, writing it, documenting it, sending it out for someone to experience later in the future.
Yeah, that's what I see. I like about it. And I don't think lot of people think about that concept. Like I hope these things survive.
Right,
and somebody will drill back down. Hey, whoa!
Like throwing a message at
a
bottle.
Look at the digital signals we found.
You never know who's going to find it. You know who's going to listen, and you know.
Well, I think
respond.
That's limited, though. I think that's pretty. I think I like to think what we're doing is far more reaching than just the bottle in the ocean with the note and the call them back.
But certainly, it's that concept.
There's a randomness to it.
You know, the ocean is the internet, and it proliferates. You know, there's like when you throw one bottle, it's thousands of bottles, right? And then they're all going to different places, and maybe, you know, somebody sees it on Facebook or something and listens.
Yeah. It probably wouldn't be a good marketing scheme this time of year, or now with the awareness of the plastic and pollution in the ocean, but the idea, so what's the ocean? The ocean is the life, and then we join in. Are we separate things that join that thing, or are we the ocean here?
We're the shore. We're the shore.
Are you sure?
We are the nexus point between when the water meets the land. You know, we're the observer. of that connection, you know.
I don't think we are that point. I think these trees are the ones greeting the sea. We're little insects that hover about and stop and look at something and make some babble about it and move on.
But we're just trees. Translating.
We're trying to understand. Like, in the way we're looking and seeing it now, this is just strictly by the limits of our own eye capacity and vision and interpretation of tree and color and everything else, that something else would perceive it entirely differently. And
certainly. Yeah.
So we like to think there is an objective reality out there. We're looking at it, but we're just looking at certain parts of it. We're missing a whole, you know, all the other... vision rays and everything else, because this is all we need to have got us to where we are, to have survived as an animal, you know, life form on this planet. It's all we've needed, what we got. But we've reached a point where people say, "Hey, this is beauty." We've had humans amongst us who understand beauty, want to pass on something beautiful from the past, and you've got to feel so sorry for some of the poor suckers in the past who didn't live under enlightened times and would have no even opportunity to think of dreams of anything other than the dreaded peasant life they're living.
But being able to, like, experience these things, you know, go around the world, you want to experience the uniqueness of that area and kind of bring it home. Like, your memories are like a souvenir of those experiences, but everything is happening as it naturally does. The rhythms of the waves and the trees, it's all happening in this cycle, this pattern.
It's doing whether we're here or not.
Right. And so when we're here to interact with it, you know, we're able to give it its dignity outside of the humdrum pattern of the waves crashing. We say, it's like, well, it's not just crashing, you know, they're swelling waves of energy moving.
I think we
feel like the drama of the waves crashing against the rocks. You know, we can, as humans, we can express that in we give everything an extra, you know, that poetic interpretation of things. And then instead of just being a mechanism that happens, right? It's more than just a machine, a natural machine. You can give it life by experiencing it.
But I'm thinking the root of that is that we're aware, ours, over the fact that we are living, conscious, sentient beings who can self-reflect, who can think and get back to ourselves, have an identity, and have assigned meaning to our lives, and our minds are blown by that.
Yeah,
we haven't digested yet what we really are, who we are. And when you look into it, the people, you know, a bad trip on acid, is suddenly you realize the frightening, horrible reality that, oh my God, I really did come from these lines of predators and animals, and I've got to this point now. But then there are times when people, you know, like see God, see. You understand, hey, there's something, there is an interpretation of beauty here, but it seems so fragile. Like, what I see in front of me, these trees, they just right now seem so absolutely beautiful and perfect in every shape of the way their limbs are growing. Like, it's absolutely a perfect, perfect scene.
Well, every moment, every now, is like an infinite snapshot of beauty.
Yes, it exists independent
here.
Of us, but I guess that's what I'm getting at. We have to be us. A cat, a dog, an animal, a wild bear wandering the park isn't seeing beauty. It is still at the functional level of living, and we've sort of transcended and come to this other level where we're looking for meaning in our lives, not just to survive and breathe, but to have a meaning, a purpose, a sense of. Explore that sense of wonder we have.
Yeah.
Look at the line of mountains being made there. Like, isn't that just perfect? So just perfect. See, I'm so glad we're out here. So glad we're here. And I guess that's the essence of we've been trying to share. I think probably from our conversation, it wasn't very entertaining at all. And nobody would have appreciated the beauty that we're seeing right now. But
yeah,
they heard Adam and Ken talking.
This is like we're reporting the news, the new, the now.
Yeah.
The nows. These are the nows. We're journalists of our personal lives. You know, our own personal journalists. Reporting. You know, these are reports. You know, what are the nows today? You know, have you heard the nows? Do you know what's happening now?
My now is just so much the trees, and I've loved trees. I have a love about trees. But this is just the added bonus. The ones yesterday, the Douglas firs, when we're on the other side of the island, and now these in front of me. Look at the moss growing on this one. It's just the colors and patterns you're seeing. It's just incredibly beautiful. Now, some people discredit all this and say, well, it sounds like they're high.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and hey, wait a minute. So that's only all that's allowed me to do is fine tune a little bit.
Right. Yeah.
Look at this. So here's the weird thing. I like podcasting. It's the urge. Why do I need to take a picture of this? Because I can't hold on to it. I want to.
Yeah.
I want this sense of seeing everything so perfect to endure. But it doesn't. So you go back to what do you feel like eating?
Yeah. Well, the thing with photographs and like taking photos, trying to capture that essence of the moment, you know, you don't like it, the essence is the experience of being there.
Yes.
Right? So all you're doing is reminding yourself of that.
Well, if you look at it later, but you are doing it. You are stopping for a moment. Like yesterday, it was very important to have a picture of you in your red cap tending the fire. And then we got the red cap stories that came with that. So, but it was an image against the, you know, green rainforest. Oh, that's kind of neat. So, I mean, the act of capturing it is also living in the moment. It's not necessarily separating it. When you're standing behind the lens and looking, and okay, move over there, a little to the left. I can't see her hand. Then you're wasting time.
Yeah. Well, part of the thrill, I think, too, is wanting other people to be reminded of like having, like, you have to have your experience. You have to go out, you know, you have to come here. You have to take your friends and say, we need to come to this place. This is our mission. Mm. You know, set it up, you know, like where you have a deeper meaning. Like, this is part of a tradition. You know, it becomes a ritual. You know, it's something you do as a to bolster your
a thing that exists even if it's not being manifested.
Yeah. But I feel like I can't travel unless I have like a purpose, like something, a goal, or something in mind.
Well,
I have to achieve.
I'm sure you have that for this trip.
Well, this is certainly, you know. When you said you were coming out, I was a little bit worried about how I was, you know, trying to, okay, where do I meet? How do we do it, right? Camping was a perfect scenario.
Yeah.
Because it's something that I've been focusing on in my life, is having this. And being able to share that with you is very important. I mean, we've always talked over the years about how podcasting is really more about sitting around a campfire than it is about anything else. And so I think this is an important element of podcasting is forget about your fucking studios and your microphones and your fancy whatevers and go out and you know, be out in this.
John Leshinsky is doing just that. He's organized probably this weekend or past a gathering in a car. It's called Campfire.
Oh, wow.
And so the people who go are invited, and he's asking people to make a small donation, which starts a seed fund for the next pod camp.
Yeah.
And it's basically he gets the wood, picks the bar, you meet in the bar, you drink,
yeah,
you do whatever you want, probably bring weed or whatever to the place he's already booked through the city, a proper campfire, we can sit around at picnic tables.
Yeah.
And he's done this for quite a few years now.
That's a great idea.
This is, yeah. There are podcasters out there, and even people who don't regularly, but who contribute to the community, play a vital part in the community. John Leshinsky is one of those, who basically keeps PodCamp Toronto going. His downside, he'll be the first to admit it, was he likes doing it all himself because he doesn't particularly like working with other people.
Yeah, so I can relate to that,
His girlfriend
kind of
helps.
Vision or something.
I say his girlfriend, she has a persona. In fact, Jennifer, I like her a lot. She's lots of fun. Now we're getting personal here, but that's basically, it was a shout-out, but a shout-out in a good way. Like, John deserves some credit for doing just what you're talking about.
I just made the connection of monikers and, I know who you're talking about now.
Picard 102.
Yes. It's funny, there's, you know people by that.
Yeah.
And it's strange to get to know them on a different level that way.
Well, I am delighted to be here right now, to be sitting here, and I think I'm just going to stop talking and just stare at the trees and mountain, take a couple more pictures and enjoy these moments and drag them out as slowly as possible.
Yeah, I'm going to go find my own personal moments.
And you may even record them.
Possibly.
Possibly, if you feel like it.
Right,
what strikes you as the right thing to do?
Yeah.
It's been good.
Thank you very much. I needed to be here.
You see, the vision I had when I was back in Toronto planning this trip, I was picturing going away for weekends. We moved to come to Vancouver, and then every weekend, there's during the week, going off somewhere camping. But when I got here, no, it's just I want to see the friends each.
Yeah.
Each person in whatever time I can. And so it became consolidated. If I'm going to go camping, here's the thing. Ron and Bruce was up for it in Keene, and that was a spurring moment. And then when they found out you had this one that was going to fit in the middle, it was just perfect.
Yeah.
And you could say meant to be, because it doesn't get any better than this. This is where we're supposed to be. I'm thrilled that you are here for the first time to Fino in this area with us. And I think there's a sense of our own histories to it that we celebrate with some embarrassment. We should be celebrating our lives and our community. And we've built a community. We have people, caring people out there. I said I'd shut up. Is there an end to that?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
It's not the kind of problem.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I can't formulate a good response.
I don't think I formulated a question.
Yeah.
There we go.
I need to go and do my thing, I think.
It's been a good trip. It's been a wonderful trip.
Yes.
Good. Glad we're celebrating it.
Glad I came. I'm glad it worked out.
I wonder if I have to say goodbye to the listening audience. Now, that's where it gets a bit strange, because suddenly it takes us, just cut them off.
Yeah, they don't need that. Yeah. You give them what you get.
We've already given them too much. Yes, yes, yes. All right, folks, boys and girls, forgive me if what I'm about to say comes across as, oh yeah, we heard that, or, too much of the same. I don't know. I don't know what I've said before this. I really don't know where I last left off in recording. I know Adam and I did a bit in, on the Pacific Coast. So I don't know what's what. It doesn't matter. If you're hearing this, I've placed it in, in with other clips, and it'll be part of a podcast. Probably the last you'll hear of me from Vancouver. I'm parked outside. I'm on East 5th. Parked outside the place, the person who you knew as Barnacle Bill in the past. I switch over to Bruce when we're in person here.
And I've stayed here the last couple of nights. We finished our camping, came back home, wet, tent soaked, and the road trek an absolute mess. Oh, my God. But I shoveled it out, got the broom out, swept, cleaned, dried off the tarps, and took up a few things, placed everything back, seats up, and it looks presentable again, and I'm very relieved. These carpets will need to be shampooed one day, but that's not your concern, and right now it's not mine. I am driving back probably in just a week from now. Today's Tuesday, the I think September 17th, and I will be driving back probably on Wednesday the 25th with my son. That's been decided. I don't know if I mentioned that. He's getting a leave of absence from his job. And will join me for the journey. So right now we are negotiating. We both want to go to Drumheller for the Dinosaur Museum and then to Dinosaur Park. So that's where we've agreed on. I want to stop in Winnipeg for the, is it the Holocaust or Human Rights Museum? And he wants to go to Edmonton. And I was originally planning on going through Calgary. So we've got to sort that out. Looking at maps and checking distances and times and routes. And so all this will happen. And I hope the trip home will be very much like the trip out here. It'll be day by day. I won't know. You know, I'll probably more likely to have a target in mind since there's two of us and we got to, you know, we need some kind of accommodation, camping wise anyway. So there may be a little more planning and foresight, but we'll see how that goes. There will be a lot of conversation and discussion as we've been doing, as we did all day yesterday. We spent the day on Commercial. If you know Vancouver, it's a street with history and character. It was mainly Italian at one point after post-war, early 50s, and it's changed a lot. And it invited a hipster element, I guess more of a hippie element. A lot of good, cheap restaurants. Now it's all coffee shops. Bars with good beer. I mean, everywhere you go, there's good beer here. And very cool little places to eat. We had supper in a cheap Chinese restaurant, a Japanese restaurant we had been in years before when I visited. Two people eating, you know, till they're full for $24, which is pretty amazing. We're not talking about grade-A Japanese food here. We're talking about, hey, that looks good. Tastes all right. And anyway, great day with him. We walked the length from Commercial. I met him at Commercial. I love the transportation system out here. It's amazing. Caught a bus here. You get on to the, I guess it was the Millennial Line, gets you to Commercial where you transfer into the two other lines. Oh, my gosh. It's fabulous, this SkyTrain system. And anyway, we met there and then just did the walk for old time's sake, crossing one side to the other, visited a CD shop, and for $5.99, I got Love and Rockets Sweet F.A., another Love and Rockets CD, so I'm excited about that, and Breakfast in America, Supertramp, for $1.99, which Kenji found for me, and bookstores, I got a book on by Timothy Leary, right towards the end. They print out a lot of thin books of, you know, recycled material and stuff. But it was cool. This one's about dying. The fight against involuntary death or something like that. I don't know. I had to get it. A bookstore. Damn, the name just escaped me. I had it. There are two. Oh, Pulp Fiction. Pulp Fiction. There are two of them. One on Main Street. This one on Commercial. He had four shelves deep of just beat literature. I said, you got any Timothy Leary? I'll just go check the beat section. Four shelves, like Kerouac, all good. You know, copies of stuff you don't normally see, including, you know, and the hipples are boiled in their tanks with barrels, which I don't have and didn't want. Yeah. My collection's not complete, but it doesn't need to be, I tell myself. But how wonderful to go in and just be able to browse. You know, I might even be back there. Along the street, a fellow just set up just outside the SkyTrain at Commercial and Broadway. just along a fence, a whole line of books, all good quality books. I picked up The Road by McCarthy, which was recommended to me by Pete in Australia. I said, you absolutely have to read this book. And it's a post-apocalyptic journey of a man and his son. And I thought, well, here I am standing with my son about to launch on a journey. I think I need that book. So that's put away in the Sal's library for future reading. What a great day. Just wandered down, not knowing, no set plan. Let's have lunch. I had wonderful, wonderful poached eggs with brie and spinach, you know, like the eggs, Florentine or... Oh, and then samplers, and then let's go along, was it Arbutus? Or no, Adnac, which is Canada spelled backwards, in case you didn't know, Adnac, to Off the Rail Brewery for a very, very nice Irish ale. My God, I'm remembering all this. And then around the corner and up Clark to yet another brewery, SF. Don't think that name's going to come to me, but I've tweeted it anyway. If you follow me on Twitter, you know exactly where I was, or on Instagram. Very, very enjoyable, good breweries, good beers, and most of all, very important talks. They got very emotional, very, very emotional, I guess on my part, and that's okay. That was good. We have a lot of things to work out still as father and son, and I won't go into it beyond that, but just in terms of, you know, improved communication and understanding and relative values and just lots of things that are important to him and important to me. So that's it. We did that and then came back, cut back, long walk back on to commercial, the Japanese supper, and then... separated at commercial. I got my way back here, sat in the road trek, and realized, yeah, I don't have to go in right away. I didn't want to disturb Bruce or watch a football game, if that's what he was going to be doing. So sat in the road trek and realized, hey, wait a minute. I got my new CD. I can just sit here in the road trek outside his house or a condo and listen to Love and Rockets, which I did until a text message came in from Shane Burley. None other than saying we're at the Red Truck, which is just down the hill from me. I can almost see it from here. And so hurry up, it's last call. So got to the Red Truck Brewery and had a final pint with Shane and Allison, his wife, and their friend. And then Shane walked me back up here, and we sat right here in this very road trek only hours ago. Probably till about almost 11:30 or so, talking, and some very interesting stories from Shane. And it's that matter of you need to spend time with people to know the people, to know what's happening in their life, what's going on, and what they're all about. So that's what we did. It was very, very pleasant. So all in all, a good day. Shaved, showered, packed up from Bruce's place, and now I'm sitting in the road track just about to turn on the ignition and drive my way to my other home on the North Shore, North Vancouver, just off Old Lillooet Drive, and set myself up there. It's wonderful to have homes to stay in when you're visiting a strange city. It's not a strange city. It's a strange city, but not to me. And lots more ahead. I got another week here. I got other friends to visit and bars to visit. So there's your update. I guess I talked about this on previous podcasts. When you travel, it's not about the places. It is about the people. And I've made a point of visiting, you know, setting aside time and, you know, with their blessing to re-engage, to catch up with some very old and dear friends, and it's been very, very wonderful. So, God, this gets boring, doesn't it, when everything's fine, everything's wonderful, everything's great. I bet instead I put on Love and Rockets, fire up the ignition, there we go, that's it, FM2, no, we don't want that, we want the CD. Ooh, better turn it down a bit before it kicks in. What do we got here? Nope, sorry. That was a bit rough. I'm going to go back to the, I won't. I'm going to end this podcast and get back to you later. This is not the song I wanted to hear, but I will hear it.
Before my judgment day.